Welcome to a special edition of the Baseball America podcast. Very honored to be joined by, we honored our Baseball America gala. We honored the Kansas City Royals, our 2014 Organization of the Year. Honored to have General Manager Dayton Moore with us. Dayton, congratulations. Obviously, it's been a very fun ride this year. As you look back on it, I know we've talked a little bit about it. One of the things that's so important to you about this is what this means for the city and the community, not just Kansas City, but the area.
Well, no doubt. I mean, we had an amazing challenge when we came to Kansas City, and one that our entire leadership embraced very well. We knew we were going to have to build an organization through scouting and player development. It was the vision of Dan and Dave Glass, and they gave us all the resources necessary and the time to do it. But it's been unbelievable to see our fans and our community rally around our team and, as you said, unite the families and bring joy to their lives.
Looking back on it, when you started, you knew it was going to be a long build. There's also, though, partly one of the challenges of that is that you also are putting a major league team out on the field. And I know we've talked about when we were doing the Organization of the Year story, those first years, there are times when you guys were making some moves that people go, what are they doing with that move? And I know you said, one of the things I found interesting, you said that wasn't always necessarily a bad thing from the standpoint of you need to develop interest again in the Royals.
Well, we did. We knew we needed to be aggressive in all areas possible to acquire talent. And, one of the challenges we had was, yes, we had to build a great farm system. And, J.J. Pecola and Lonnie Goldberg, Rene Francisco, Mike Arbuckle, Scott Sharp, so many people instrumental along with our coaches and our managers that did the heavy lifting, truthfully. But we also had to manage some expectations at the major league level. We never wanted to lose 100 games. We wanted to be as competitive as we possibly could, especially during those early years, and do our best to communicate to our fans what we were trying to do, to make sure that they understood the process, but also to allow them to debate us and to be engaged with our team. So it was all very important to be completely transparent and, as I said before, do our best to win and be successful, rather, or to be competitive at the major league level.
When did you sense that the tide was starting to turn? Because, again, it was, those first couple of years, you knew. The first year, you guys added five key guys who down the road ended up being key guys on this World Series team, but they were years away.
When Haas broke into the major leagues and had that success when he initially broke in, and I think it just really inspired everybody. And I think it gave some teeth to our plan, some validity to what we were trying to do within the community. But truthfully, JJ, we just worked every single day on trying to get better and trying not to get so caught up in the outcome. And just tried to get better each and every day in some area. And hopefully, if we did that and committed to that process, someday we might wake up and be good.
Now, you were one out away from, from the ultimate prize. How hard is it? I mean, now, obviously, the work is to try to get back there. How hard is it? Obviously, is it easier in some ways because now you've developed a foundation. In 2015, you don't have to convince a fan base, no, pay attention to us. They're there. They're hooked in. How does it change, I guess I should say, going into 2015?
Well, that's a great point. And, I think the biggest thing it does is, our players, I think, realize that they can compete. They can compete on the highest stage and the highest platform and compete well. And I think that's what it does more than anything else. But, we're certainly not going to sneak up on anybody. We're going to have to continue to add to our roster, make changes to our roster, massage it in ways they're going to keep us competitive. And certainly, we're here at the winter meetings, and we're doing our best to build our team, for the 2015 season and beyond, to be as competitive as we can and hopefully get back to the World Series.
How much does a playoff run – again, y'all are a smaller revenue market. There's no question about that. How much does a – y'all played as many games, in the World Series. You went to game 7 of the World Series. How much does that help from a revenue standpoint? I mean, not just the ticket sales, but
there's no doubt. It helps. There's no doubt about it. But unfortunately, the market's not getting any cheaper either. I mean, the prices for players, the economics of this game aren't standing still. in terms of trying to acquire free agent talent. And so, you know, we're never going to be big players on the free agent market. Hopefully we can supplement our team, you know, with some moves like we did last year with Jason Vargas and Omar Infante, and make some, you know, minor, some deals like that that were important to our team. And just going forward, I mean, we've got the core group together. And we're going to make additions along the way to support this core group, and knowing full well that Lonnie Goldberg and JJ and Renee and all of our scouts and development people, they have the very tough task of keeping the pipeline full and transitioning championship type players to Kansas City.
I did want to. There's a lot of people that you could single out, but you mentioned Renee, and he's one that really jumps out to me because. Yeah, you look back, and again, this is not a criticism of previous regimes or anything, but before Renee came along, the Royals were not getting really – I look back at the 2003, 4, 5 DSL teams. I don't think any of them made the big leagues. And you look at what Renee, and not just Renee, but obviously the international scouting staff, the Latin American complex staff, and Victor Baez and everyone down there. You guys have developed a kind of a Latin American juggernaut in many ways.
Well, Mr. Glass wanted to build a model organization, and he wanted us to be very competitive internationally. But the truth of the matter was, from 1996 to 2006, the Royals were last in expenditures in Latin America. Well, we all know that's where your high-ceiling talent comes from. So, Rene Francisco has done an incredible job of putting together a first-class development staff, scouting staff, throughout Latin America. We're trying to do a better job in the Eastern Rim going forward. That's one of the plans we have for the future. But, you can't be a successful organization and win championships unless you have a strong international program. And Rene and his people, Orlando Estevez, have done an unbelievable job.
Again, congratulations. Thank you for attending here, the Baseball America Gala. Great that we have it back. Congratulations to you. You all had all the affiliates here. Omaha, don't want to slight them. Omaha, you're back-to-back AAA champs, which is – that's very hard to do.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I appreciate you, JJ, and what you all do at Baseball America. You guys have brought a lot of honor to the game over the years, and you should be proud for that.
Well, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Dayton Moore.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Another part of the Baseball America Awards Gala podcast here. We're very honored. We're very honored to have you here tonight, and very honored to have you join us, Chris Bryant, our Minor League Player of the Year. Amazing season. We've been obviously following your career for quite a while, and it just seems like it keeps going on to bigger and better things. You've had a lot. You've been doing this. You've been doing the awards circuit a whole lot this week. What is it? When you get done with a season, what does it mean though to be able to kind of attend this with your family and kind of share these kind of moments?
Yeah, it's awesome because they don't really get to experience every game that I get to in the season, so it's kind of cool for them to, it's like a last hurrah thing for the whole season. They get to come to all the awards things, and, I'm very honored to be able to win all these awards. But, after tonight, I think, I'll be in the past, and I'm looking forward to, a good 2015 season.
That's got to be exciting, too.
Mm-hmm.
You've already seen it. You guys, the Cubs organization, you've been playing with some very talented teams.
Right.
How excited are you looking ahead? I mean, just when you see what could be before too long.
Yeah, very exciting, especially being here at the winter meetings and hearing all this buzz. It's something that I definitely want to be a part of. And, I got the chance to play with a lot of good guys, this season in Tennessee and Iowa. And, they were all so great. And, I'm really looking forward to playing with them for a long time.
I kind of along those lines. I mean, you said, some of your teammates have already made it up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've played with Soleri, Baez, and those guys. As you go into 2015, what are some of your, obviously you want to get better every year, but what are you looking for going into 2015? I mean, you head into spring training, obviously. The things that are outside of your control are where, do you start in the season, the majors, the minors, all that. But what's in your control, what are you kind of looking forward to for 2015?
Well, I really think the only thing I can control is, my attitude in going about this. I understand there's, some business aspects of this game, but I really don't let that affect me just because I can't control it, like you said. If I go out there and I'm thinking about that, then it's ultimately going to affect my game. And, if I want to get to the big leagues, I have to have, perform on the field, and that's what I'm going to try to do, go out there, you know, in spring training, show them what I got, and have a lot of fun doing it.
Chris, the last thing, we've sat together a couple times this week now. To me, I didn't even put it together that you were getting all these awards, and there are Baseball America issues everywhere with Joey Gallo on the cover, with Sin City Slugger on the cover. But we talked about it the other day. We kind of joked about it. But what is the deal with this Las Vegas explosion of power? And when, at what point, like, did you think this was normal growing up playing against Bryce and playing with Joey and your dad coaching Joey and that kind of thing? At what point did you start to realize, wait a minute, this is a different kind of group?
Yeah, I think maybe when I think me and Joey and Bryce all started to get into professional baseball. But, you know, growing up, I was just so used to it. We had, I mean, not just those three guys. There were a lot of guys in Vegas that were really good at, you know, playing this game. And, you know, now it's pretty cool to see three guys just, you know, trying our best to get there. And, you know, obviously Bryce is doing great things. You know, I'm so happy for him. And Joey, too. Me and him having the friendly competition of who hits the most home runs. But he's always been a great kid. I had a blast with him at the Futures game. And, you know, I really wish nothing but the best for them. But, you know, it's a good little friendly competition we got going here. And, you know, it just says a lot about the sport of baseball in Las Vegas.
He broke the truck. You got all the hardware. So that's a good trade. I think you win that trade. I want to just thank you again for coming out here. We've had a great history with Minor League Players of the Year coming out. But I was just joking to Will Lingo. Next year we got to name a Vanderbilt guy because it's in Nashville next year for the winter meeting. So Vanderbilt guys already have an early lead for Minor League Player of the Year. So thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I had a blast. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
And, JJ, I do want to just really quick wrap up and just say it's really cool for Baseball America to have been able, for us to be able to do this again. We had an awards gala every year from 2001 to 2008, and to be quite blunt, the 2008 awards gala deserved to be put out of its misery. That was not a good event. I wasn't proud to be part of that event. I was proud to be part of this event tonight. So I think a lot of people who listen to this and know Baseball America know I've worked here a long time and know that Will Lingo and I worked together a long time at co-editor-in-chief for 9 years. I'm just really thankful that Will, as general manager of BA now, reinstituted this event. And thanks to our parent company and the Enthusiast Network for providing the events team to allow us to have the awards gala tonight. It means a lot to me personally that we were able to bring this back.
It was a blast. There was many people we got to honor tonight. It's great to see the Roland Heeman Award, you know, back where we honored Dave Duncan. We honored Chris Bryant.
I had so many invitations tonight I had to hold back. Tim Wilkin was here with the Cubs. We had Roland Heeman. I love my Roland Heeman impersonation. It's deep in my repertoire of impersonations. I'm not going to bring it out because I have too much respect for Roland. But it was a good night for Baseball America. So I hope everybody enjoyed the interviews. And, JJ, it was just personally, it was awesome to see you present that award to the Royals. I know what it had to mean to you because you've gotten to know these guys over the year. And you weren't a being grow up a Royals fan, but you've gotten to know intimately the story of this organization. You told it well on the station. I know it had to mean a lot to you to be able to sit here and talk about it with Dayton.
It was fun because this I was joking with some of their guys. I remember sitting, you know, with Lonnie Goldberg in Kinston in 2010 watching Eric Hosmer and learning about the game from him because watching Lonnie, who was one pitch ahead of the pitcher the entire night, which is one of those freakish things to watch. But to see a team, again, you know, when I was introducing it, the point I made is this. When Dayton was hired, he said, we're going to build a winner through scouting and player development. I think it's fair to say that every general manager ever hired by the Kansas City Royals has said that. And that's not that's not besmirching any of the ones who came before.
It's not like anybody came in there and said, we're the Kansas City Royals.
We're going to build through free agency.
Exactly.
But they did it. And the thing about it is that they did. And that is, it's something where it's fun to watch when you see an organization, and it took a while, but they're proof, the Pirates are proof, that, you know, if you build through scouting player development, it can take a while. But there is a reason to be patient. And that was fun to watch. It really has been fun to kind of have at least a little bit of sneak peek behind the curtain of kind of as they've built it.
We just want to thank everybody who came out tonight. I mean, Alex Jackson, our high school player of the year. Tom McNamara of the Mariners, who presented. Theo Epstein was here with the Cubs. The Cubs won so many awards tonight. But Theo, Jed Hoyer, that whole front office.
Ripken Baseball.
Ripken Baseball was one of our primary sponsors that came out tonight. So it was a good night for Baseball America, and we hope everybody enjoyed it. And one of these years, JJ, we're going to have the gala, and there's going to be a live studio audience behind it, and we'll stream it and all that good stuff. But baby steps. We had to get it back.
We had to get it back going.
So glad to do that.
So, for John Manuel, I'm JJ Cooper with a special edition of the Baseball America Podcast. So long, everybody. Baseball America Podcast. So long, everybody.